Let's read together Leviticus chapter 20. In this chapter, we have the penalties and punishments for various heinous offenses under the law. Let's begin by reading the first five verses of this chapter. Leviticus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Again you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel who gives any of his descendants to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Molech and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech." Let's begin our study of Leviticus chapter 20 with some background notes. Back in Leviticus chapter 18, we had a number of gross and heinous sins listed that were expressly forbidden under the law. Now here in chapter 20, we have the penalties and punishments for these gross and heinous offenses. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, we read, "And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Leviticus 18, 21. And now here in the first five verses of chapter 20, we see that Molech worship was punishable by death. Molech was a heathen god of the Ammonites, and the worship of this false god involved gruesome orgies, which included child sacrifice. Often the image of Molech was heated, and the baby was placed in the arms of Molech as a sacrifice. Now, the logical question to ask at this point is, how could the people do such a thing? They were normal, decent people. How could they become so hardened as to kill their own babies? Well, maybe the best answer is to ask the same question about many in our own nation that condone the killing of unborn human beings. Hardened people can somehow overlook and excuse and even justify the gruesome and painful death of the unborn. We see in verse 2 that the punishment for Molech worship was the death penalty. And we see in verses 4 and 5 that if the people failed in their responsibility to judge this sin, then God himself would remove this man and those associated with him in this gross and gruesome sin. Now in the rest of the chapter, we have a further listing of certain serious offenses under the law and their associated penalties and punishments. So that brings us to our doctrinal points for Leviticus chapter 20. Doctrinal point number one, the law's stiff penalties for sin revealed God's holiness. The law's stiff penalties for sin revealed God's holiness. Let's read the rest of the chapter. Leviticus chapter 20, beginning now with verse 6. "And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man mates with an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall kill the animal. If a woman approaches any animal and mates with it, you shall kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. If a man takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his guilt. If a man lies with a woman during her sickness or customary impurity and uncovers her nakedness, he has exposed her flow, and she has uncovered the flow of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from their people. If a man takes his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. And you shall not make yourselves abominable by beast or by bird, nor by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, why such stiff penalties under the law? That is stiff when you compare what the penalty would be today in the courts for these sins. The bottom line is in verses 7 and 8. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And verse 26, and you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. The stiffer the penalty logically meant the higher the standards of holiness. Suppose only a slap on the wrist was the required punishment for these sins. Well, it would be obvious that God didn't think that sin was too serious, and it would effectively lower God's standards. But stiff penalties maintained God's standards and revealed God's holiness. And God's people were expected to keep and practice these standards and thus reflect God's holiness and thus be set apart as God's holy people. We see in this chapter that the death penalty was used as punishment for a number of sins. Witchcraft and occult practices were punishable by death. Verse 6 and verse 27. By the way, we see from these verses that the phrase cut off in the context of these verses meant the same as put to death. Cursing one's parents was punishable by death. Verse 9. To curse your parents was more than disagreeing with them, as often happens. It was to despise them and rebel against their authority and not care for them in their old age. His blood or his blood guiltiness shall be upon you meant he was worthy of death for such sin. Adultery was punishable by death. Verse 10. Notice that there is no double standard here. Unbelievers love to criticize the Bible for supposed double standards. No. Incest was punishable by death. Verses 11 and 12. Homosexual practice was punishable by death. Verse 13. We see that such practice is detestable in God's sight. In verse 14, as well as verses 17 through 21, we see that there were stiff penalties for sexual relationships that were either incestuous or marriage that was too close within families. God's desire was to keep the areas of family love and affection between children and between parents and children pure and free from any sexual promiscuity. The phrase uncover nakedness, by the way, involves sexual contact. All of the sins in this category were not punishable by death, however. Cut off in these verses could mean excommunication from the covenant community. Notice in verse 21 that the stiff penalty for wrongly marrying your brother's wife was that there would be no children. Now, the one exception here was that if the brother died without an heir, then the unmarried brother was to marry his brother's widow and raise up an heir, the Levirate law of marriage. We see in verses 15 and 16 that sexual perversion with animals was punishable by death. In verses 22 through 25, it is emphasized that when God's people came into the good land that he was giving them, they were to be different and separate from the people and pagan practices of the nations of Canaan. Now, we know from archaeology how gross and gruesome were the pagan practices of the Canaanites. The Rosh Shamra tablets bear this out. The law's stiff penalties for sin revealed God's holiness. Doctrinal point number two. The law's stiff penalties for sin provided God's protection. The law's stiff penalties for sin provided God's protection. It doesn't take much insight to see how all of these laws, with their stiff penalties for disobeying and ignoring them, really protected God's people from all kinds of bad fallout. The rigid dietary laws of verse 25 protected the health of God's people. The stiff penalties for off-limits sexual activity not only protected God's people from sexually transmitted diseases, but also protected families from abnormal and less than ideal relationships, and permitted the family, God's basic social unit, to exercise normal love and affection. And the stiff penalties for false religious and occult activity protected God's people from all kinds of demonic attack. The law's stiff penalties for sin provided God's protection. And that brings us to our practical application for Leviticus chapter 20. Don't lower God's moral standards. Don't lower God's moral standards. Now, how do you lower God's moral standards? One way is to treat God's laws lightly and be involved in sinful practices. Another way is to not punish people who break God's moral laws. Parents who don't properly punish children for deliberate acts of rebellion are, in essence, lowering God's moral standards. Church leaders who don't excommunicate members who are involved in sexual sin, for example, are in essence lowering God's moral standards. Yes, we are to show mercy and grace, but not to the point where we make light of God's moral standards by just a slap on the wrist for breaking God's moral laws. Now, obviously, we are not advocating the death penalty for all the sins listed here, because the church is not a theocracy under the law, and the highest form of discipline in the church is excommunication. However, in general, the church today is far too lax in its discipline, and thus is guilty of lowering God's moral standards. Don't lower God's moral standards.